Some of you may have heard of Eckhart Tolle. I was drawn into a statement he made in The New Earth. I think it speaks quite well to the relationship of approaching NVC from a Tai Chi or Zen perspective or the perspective of any number of other elder spiritual traditions. He writes, "The quicker you are in attaching verbal or mental labels to things, people, or situations, the more shallow and lifeless your reality becomes, and the more deadened you become to reality, the miracle of life that continuously unfolds within and around you. In this way, cleverness may be gained, but wisdom is lost, and so are joy, love, creativity, and aliveness. They are concealed in the still gap between the perception and the interpretation." Of course, we have to use words and thoughts. They have their own beauty, but do we need to become imprisoned in them? Words reduce reality to something the human mind can grasp, which isn't very much. Language consists of five basic sounds produced by the vocal cords. They're the vowels A, E, I, O, U. The other sounds are consonants produced by air pressure, S, F, G, and so forth. Do you believe some combination of such basic sounds could ever explain who you are, or the ultimate purpose of the universe, or even what a tree or stone is in its depth? I know nonviolent communication speaks about labels, and it speaks about interpretations, and distinguishes between labels and interpretations and the language of observation, feelings, needs, and requests. For me, when I read this passage, I find that the interpretation Eckhart Tolle is speaking of can be in any language, including that of NVC, when it's used where the words become substitutes for the lived experience.
It's this idea that we want to arrive to where empathy, connection, is not the words. It's not the words. It's arriving to being with what is.
So we'd like to do a little experiment right now with you, an exercise in being. So hopefully many of you have an object near you that is precious to you and meaningful. Use any object in your field of vision right now, in your field of perception, that strikes you. We're going to use this object as the place to put our attention for the next few minutes. So take a moment to settle into your place where you are right now, noticing and feeling, becoming aware of the sense of your body being supported by the ground below. Could be the place where your body contacts the chair or sitting cushion where you're sitting. Just becoming aware of it, not in words, but just in the body. Now bring into your awareness this object that we've invited you to bring in. And initially, just your sensory experience of this object, the shape of it, the colors, a tactile feel or touch associated with the object. Bring your senses to bear on this object. Bring the sensory experience of this object into your consciousness. Again, not in words, but just the way a child might delight in pure experience of being in the body. Now, also consider, are there any thoughts associated with this object? Do you have any experiences of thoughts about liking or disliking the object, and why you like or dislike the object? Bring those thoughts into your awareness as well. Perhaps you have some memories or stories associated with the object. And for this moment, let those stories and memories flood into your consciousness. And as you let those thoughts come in, can you stay in touch with the embodied experience? What happens in the body as these thoughts come into play? Their feelings of pleasure. How do you know it's pleasure? Where are the sensations? What do the sensations feel like? Again, not in words, just going deeper into the felt experience. Now, as you go into that felt experience, the life that comes into your body, comes into the body, associated with the object, see if there's a stream of feeling or energy that we often call in nonviolent communication needs. In other words, what are the qualities that this object touches in the lived experience? What are those qualities? Not yet in words, just in your felt experience. Can you feel the meaning in the body that this object holds for it. And as you feel that meaning, let that felt experience come to crystallize in a word or a phrase. And that word or phrase may be in the realm of what we call need in nonviolent communication. How would you give that quality a name? This is obviously an awareness exercise around witnessing what is. Witnessing what is in relation to a specific focus. Bringing your focus to a specific object and witnessing what occurs when you bring your focus there.
I'm beginning to notice that it's our perception that begins to stimulate what arises inside of us. It's not the object itself that brings alive anything in particular in us. It's truly our perception. And then noticing all that's alive at once, the tangible observation of what is, simply physical, three-dimensional, what could be placed on a camera qualities, the observations of our perception, and then the perception of the feelings and senses in the body, that physical that arises within, that give rise to the perception of what is our life force, what are the needs, the qualities that are really arising, and beginning to see that maybe the perception isn't even separate from the object anymore, that the object is not so separate that it can stimulate us anymore, but that actually, is there really any separation?
It's quite a difference to use the perception meditation and that exercise with an actual other human being, because our mind can have the tendency to go, oh, well, that's an object, and begin to separate things out even more readily. But if I use the same exercise with my intimate partner, Jesse, it gives me even much more challenge to realize that Jesse himself, as the object, isn't causing the emotion or the wave or the needs that are alive in me. He's not the cause of them. Now there's this perception that I have that I go, oh, wow, I really love this person. And so that perception then begins to make alive the feelings, care and loving and warmth and sweetness that then really engage my own life force, really engage that quality of presence within myself that is love, that is connection, that is interdependent. And so when I'm not caught by the object in this particular example, Jesse, my partner, when I'm not caught by that, then I can actually be with what's the presence in my being. Even when I'm caught by the idea that Jesse's against me, that I'm mad at Jesse, or what Jesse just said, that's the mind then now getting caught by something that was said, or caught by this being, or caught by this object in front of me. And when I become aware that I'm getting caught, when I become aware that that's my perception of the statement or my perception, being caught by my own opinion, really, my own subjectivity in my mind, then I can really connect to the sensations that arise, that connect to the life force that is me, what in NVC we call needs.
Some of you had a question about being interested in NVC and its relationship to Tai Chi and to Zen. One of the things that this exercise relates to, what Catherine's speaking to, in Tai Chi, for example, one of the early exercises that I learned from my teachers is around focusing on what's called the Dantian, or the space just below the belly. In Zen, it's often referred to as the Hara, but for all intents and purposes, it's the center of your body, just below the belly. Meditation on focusing on the Dantian or in the Hara, I found that in the early stages, it takes a bit of imagination or visualization because initially you can't feel it. There's no feeling of what that place is. My mind tended to look at it as an other, an object. I kept looking for, what is the Dantian? Where is it? How do you feel it? How do you know what it is? And there's an increasing in the separation between me being the observer and this Dantian. Well, in truth, many Tai Chi teachers will tell you that the Dantian actually doesn't exist. It's not an actual thing. The way to meditate on it or to sense it or to be with it is to actually settle into the Dantian, to have your point of awareness be actually in the Dantian itself. So this requires a kind of merging. When you merge with the Dantian, then you can act from it. Then you can move from it. Well, similarly, there's this place in dialogue in MVC where in empathizing or connecting with the experience of being with another person is not about looking at them as an object or an other and trying to identify their needs in a verbal fashion, in a cognitive fashion. It's about merging into their experience. This meditation we did with the object, it's like that. It's like you let the person be an object of reflection for the embodied experience. When you merge with the person in this way, that's when true requests come out. That's where you can act from the Dantian. You act from the life that you experience reflected in the other person.
Even merging in this way with yourself, you can do this practice in the mirror. How many times do we create ourselves to be the object of our suffering? So even in the practice of self-empathy, not getting caught by the process itself or getting caught by the figuring out or the words, but being able to be in that presence, even with yourself.
So we're talking about an experience of being. My instruction for coming up with a need is very specific, about letting it crystallize, be the crystallized expression of what you're experiencing or feeling when you're reflecting on an object or a person or a stimulus. In that way, the need is not an act of doing or an intellectual exercise of what need word works here, but it comes out of your lived experience. It comes out of the being with the situation.